Hi, everybody. It's Diane. It is 3 o'clock Eastern time on Thursday, August 29th. I'm here with the PSS group. So far, we have two Julies, Kara and Jane. Who wants to start us off with celebrations and check-ins?
This is Julie M, and I will go ahead. It's been a while since I've been on a call, so I'll just share that over the summer, late summer, we applied for my 15-year-old to go to a private school because he was asking for a school with smaller class sizes and a place that felt more like family. We had a lot of trouble with vaping and stuff like that at the other school, and so he was accepted, and it's been maybe 3 weeks so far, and he seems somewhat, you know, fairly engaged with it. He seems to enjoy the school so far. And so it's a celebration of a couple different things, I guess, that one, he was accepted, and two, that he's seems happy about it. So that's that.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
Who else?
This is Kara. I can kind of go off that. Declan is my son. He's 12 and he just started middle school week and a half ago about. And something that he and I both were pretty nervous about, but I mean, it's new. We don't have a lot under our belt yet, but it's going pretty well. Like his first day went really well and his first week was successful. So similar to what you shared, he's enjoying it and he's kind of had that load taken off the shoulders of the unknown. And he has one of his best friends with him through his entire schedule would help, which helps a lot. And it's a big school. So, you know, that's a relief and cause for celebration.
Awesome. Awesome. Cool. Jane or Julie? Well,
this is Julie. Can you hear me? I was trying to get to an area where there weren't a lot of cars.
I can tell you're out walking though, Julie.
Yeah. I'll be without cars in a few minutes. But we are celebrating. My daughter started seventh grade, and she's been in for about 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks, and we've only had one missing grade so far, and she's done really well with the rest of her assignments. But so I'm super proud of her overall. You know, we're tweaking things, but I'm also really proud of me. And when I've been getting overwhelmed and or anxious about potential patterns that could be cropping up, like I've really been trying to hold the bigger picture that you guys talk about and anchor into this new mantra of mine that I've got this, we've got this, and I have been able to be very present with her, so much so that she even, after we worked through some work, she like shared about a challenge with some friends that was happening, which was very rare for her to share, but she felt comfortable enough and like I was there with her enough to share with me. So that was huge, and I'm celebrating that.
Julie, that's awesome. And I know that, you know, it's so hard when your own emotions about the situation get in the way of the problem solving. And so getting to a place where you can just kind of focus on that bigger picture has got to feel really good for you.
I'm working on it. I got this.
You got this. You got this.
I got this.
Jane, what about you?
I would have to say that yesterday my son was willing and able to get himself up and together to get me to a surgery appointment that I needed to leave the house at like 6 a.m. and he had to pick me back up again because I couldn't drive. So he knew that it was important enough to make arrangements in his sleeping habits and his life to make sure that he got me where I needed to be on time and picked me back up and helped me walk out of the place, just really kind like that. And he makes sure when it's something really important that he always comes through.
Awesome.
So I'm proud of him for that.
Well, and what a nice gift, you know, when you're, when you really needed him for his, you know, that he was able to kind of use that as a motivation to kind of kick in a different way. Awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right.
Diane, this
so,
is Lauren. I jumped in late. Sorry for
being
late.
Hi, Lauren.
How are you?
I'm good. So what do you want to
be thankful for?
Celebrate. Yeah.
Celebrate. I wanted to celebrate that we haven't started school yet. My son's going to be a senior. And I have been working on my levels and not going straight to level 4, but, like, working on figuring out the whole scaffolding thing. I haven't really encouraged him too much to take his medicine over the summer because it affects his appetite a lot. But he has had a lot of summer work that he
mm-hmm.
has. So I kind of had an epiphany the other day that he was playing a lot of video games, and I figured out, I think, that he was getting the dopamine that he needed from the video games instead of from his medicine. And so I shared that with him and asked, we just had a good conversation about it and talked about some other ways that he may be able to stimulate his brain other than playing video games. But I feel like we were able to have a good conversation around that.
Awesome. Awesome. What do you think made the difference in terms of making it a productive conversation?
Definitely me not being like, oh my gosh, why are you playing video games again? But like getting curious about it and thinking like, you know, I wonder what this is like, it's giving him everything his brain needs that it's not getting otherwise. So it was totally me that made the difference. Not to brag or anything, but it was
me. Lauren. No, and I know all of you really well to know that you guys are doing amazing work. And so I'm not, Lauren, brag on yourself. You've been working hard on this. We
have. Well, and I was frustrated that I felt like I wasn't, the tools weren't working for me. So it was nice to see them coming together for me.
Yay. Yay. Congratulations. Awesome. Thanks. So let's loop back. Julie M., where do you want to take aim today?
Can we come back to me? I wasn't thinking on that. I'll think right now.
That's all right. Julie Z, you want to go?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I'm liking staying in the celebration, but there's so much to work on. I mean, I think, oh, gosh. Okay. I mean, I am, as much as I'm trying to hold, I've got this. In the moments when I forget, my mantra, I went to bed the other night feeling like I am working way too hard and I am doing more here than I should. It's, you know, it's not just with my daughter. I have 3 kids and one just started high school, one's in 5th grade and she's right in the middle. And I feel a little desperate to try and teach my 5th grader all these skills and tools so that I may not have to work so hard in 7th grade with him. Like, I don't know. There's this like kind of desperate, a little bit of desperate energy I'm trying to manage. And, you know, I do better when I hold that I got this so I can take a breath. And, you know, I worry about my daughter, these little things like her missing an assignment already. I worry about that and the pattern and, you know, the scaffolding and I don't know, you know, wanting to help her. And so, but that, I feel like that's more me. It's just all me.
So
I'm managing it.
So, and you know that most of our stress is stuff that we can manage because it's stuff we end up putting on ourselves about our perspective or that sort of thing. So can
right,
you get
my
specific?
Story.
It's a story, right? This sort of, if you feel like it's something that you should do or you have to do, or it's like, you know, you're kicking on that alarm button that it's like, oh my gosh, I got to make sure this gets done. You know, you're going to be operating on cortisol instead of operating on what's the other one? the calm
right.
Hormone.
That one. I have very little of that. It's almost like I'm addicted to that cord, like that.
The cortisol
intensity.
Rush.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. So let's get real specific, though, Julie. Is there a particular area where you notice you tend to go into alert mode more often that we could take aim on?
Well, we're trying to work in the, level 2, 3, I don't know, 2 mm-hmm. probably, where my daughter, she checks websites when she gets home, and I check websites, and we play a game with who gets all the homework that has to be done for the night from the websites, correct. And then we move into, okay, what are you going to do? And I time her. I support her. She lets me by timing her and checking in very lovingly, but it takes a lot of energy all night. You know, are you done? Have you finished it? Like, trying to support her. And I'm just kind of constantly checking in. And so I'm trying to figure out, it would be great. I don't know how to, like, I want to be, you know, I need to support her still, but I need to lay off too. So I don't know where that line is, I guess.
Well,
it's probably more about how I come to it.
Well, and you kind of shifted gears, Julie, because you were originally talking about kind of just this sort of mindset around having to get everything done and working too hard. And then you focused specifically on your older daughter and the, you know, keeping track of assignments and things. Is that a place where you feel like you're doing more than you need to, or that you feel like your responsibility for it is a little bit more intense than other areas? Is that what you're thinking
right.
about?
Right. It's connected. It's all because it's my middle daughter. This is the one that's running with all this on. Yeah. And so she, I feel it. I feel the hyper responsibility and the intensity the most around these kinds of interactions. Are you done yet? Like, I'll put on the timer. How much time do you need? Trying to keep it all light and okay, how are you doing? You know, when inside I'm like, are you working on this? Like, are you going to get this done? You know, she does. She's doing it. So
you're kind of in fake it till you make it, and it's stressing you out. Is that?
Well, there's that.
Fair?
And then there's just, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah. It's just doing it, like trying to make sure she's not missing anything and that she's going to get it all done. And I just feel like I'm owning a lot of it because I'm in level 2 with her or still so much. And
okay, so let me interrupt you and see. Yeah, no, it is exhausting. So how clear are you on where you're taking aim?
I don't know. I'm working. So I'd like to not feel
like,
so exhausted.
No. So do you feel clear on where you're taking aim? Because I think I get it, but it feels like you get it a lot more than I do, and I want to make sure you're clear and we can move forward if you're clear.
Okay. So, I mean, I'd like to feel less pressure and stress. Like I'm holding it for her. Like all
there
the doing
Got
all
it.
The
so,
work.
So it's kind of like taking aim on your own hyper responsibility and the feeling that you're working too hard. Is that right?
That
okay.
sounds great.
Okay, cool. Kara, what about you? Kara, do you have me on mute?
Yes, I do. Thank you. I was thinking through what others were talking because ultimately I want to take aim on moving into phase 2 with homework. However, I'm looking at our notes from our last call, and I'm realizing I kind of need to chunk that up because before I can even get there or in order to get there, I'm still working on finding moments of receptivity in order to make a plan with him. So it's
right. So getting your working on getting buy-in and collaboration, right?
Right. Yeah. Coming up with a plan and getting buy-in and collaboration on and like, some structure around, you know, when it will happen in my mind. And because there's times when I know he's not receptive or attentive, either because he's tired, his medication's worn off, or he's, you know, in a hurry to move on, which is mostly what I experience. So kind of, you know, looking at our timetable and time and space and coming up with some ideal opportunities and then bringing it to them and doing like what we talked about. But I haven't mm-hmm. even gotten my head there yet. I haven't gotten my head around it.
Right. So what you're really kind of taking aim on is how to either create or identify those moments of connection so you can start having the collaborative conversations. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and it's not exactly connection. I mean, that's it. Because we have times of connection, but it's usually not when we can. He's not usually receptive. He may be connected, but he's not receptive to talking about certain things.
Mm.
So, if that makes sense.
Interesting.
So
Yeah. Well,
when he's more connected and willing to kind of have a little more like time together to talk, it's late at night, and if I try to dive into anything that's like too specific or packed, you know, like when can we do this type thing, he'll shy away and it'll, you know, he'll back away from it. So I think that needs to be when his medication's in effect.
I'm gonna challenge you to stay out of solution mode, but focus on the challenge and the change you want to see is you want to create more opportunities for having collaborative conversations. And it could be when you're connecting, you know, at the end of the day, it could be not outside of that, but you're really kind of looking for those windows for collaboration. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Jane, what about you? You might have us on mute too, Jane.
I did, and it took me a while to get it out of my fanny pack and get away from a tractor outside so that I could be heard. I would like to say probably ditto to everything I just heard. I have all the same things, but I guess specifically the change I would like to see is for my son to put the priority of looking for a job and completing a resume as a priority over going out with his friends and doing his fun stuff, his video games and playing with his phone, seem to be first. And my husband and I are trying to get him to see that you do your work first and your fun second. But
so hang on a second. So can I jump in? Because it feels a little bit, so what you really want is for him to prioritize looking for a job.
Yeah.
And if he was able to do that, even if it wasn't the biggest priority, the most important thing for him, would that be okay with you?
If he looked for one, you mean? Or
because the part about making it more important than hanging out with friends is where it feels that feels like your agenda a little bit. Is that fair?
Yeah. Yes, but his way is that he's not getting it done because he's making the fun come first, and then he's too tired, and then he's, you know, too tired and wants to sleep.
Well, and so it's easy to kind of jump to, so it's really easy to jump from his way's not working, so we want him to do it our way. And I'm going to challenge you to stay with helping him find a way that works for him as opposed to doing it your way. Does that make sense?
It would be lovely.
And it's really hard because it's frustrating because it's like, I know that if he'd do this before he'd do that, then he would get it done and wouldn't be a problem. But the reality is that you've got to get his buy-in to do that, and his friends are probably more important to him right now than the job. And so it might be about helping him figure out how to make the job more important from a time perspective. It might be about helping him find a time that he can fit it in between doing things with his friends. I mean, there's lots of different ways to solve it, but you want to kind of keep it in his agenda mode, which is how to help him to get a job and to do it in a way that feels good for him. Does that resonate?
Okay. Yes, definitely.
Thank you. Lauren, what about you?
It's kind of the same thing of what you just talked about, and now I know how to word it, thanks to to the last conversation. But I want to help my son find a way that works for him regarding his time. Like, he has these plans. He has the best intentions of what he wants to do. He has these plans on his own. He's like totally bought into them, but it's executing them where the trouble comes. And then I get frustrated because I'm like, well, wait, that's what you were going to do that. And then that was what I was expecting because that was what he said. And then that doesn't happen. And then there's like, I'm like, wait, why didn't you do that? And I know he had the best intentions. I think he really was planning on that, but it doesn't happen. So I would love to help him figure out ways to execute his intentions.
So can you get a little specific, Lauren, about the particular time of day or particular situation to narrow in your thought process?
Well, like, for example, back to the summer stuff. He came up with a plan for himself. He was going to – he has, like, three books he had to read over the summer. He was going to have read the first one by last Sunday. And I said, well, you know, sometimes it's helpful to have a daily plan so you can be sure you achieve that. And he's like, no, no, he was fine. Well, Sunday came and went. And I think he's probably – so it's almost another full week, and he's probably halfway through – the book now. And so he still has other, you know, has other books to read and other work to do. So I think he really did intend for that plan to happen, but it's just putting it into action. And like you guys were just talking about, I think he should get his other stuff done first too, but that's not what he does. And we've talked about, like I said, if I could play games all day, like, most people, if you could do something fun all day, would much rather do that than the boring thing that you really, like, this book is painfully boring to him. So who's going to want to, like, do the boring thing when you can do the fun thing? So what, maybe you could use that as a reward. He's like, nope, like, that's not going to work for me. So I don't know if that was more specific, but I just don't know how to help him.
So it's kind of like what I'm, the bottom line, or Lauren, if I, of what you're looking at is what to do when he sets out a plan mm-hmm. for getting his summer work done and then he's not successful
or
in
anything.
Accomplishing
he
what
has
he wants.
Lots of plans. Like, he's had a million plans for all different things, but they yeah. don't usually come together.
Okay, cool. Does that feels pretty solid. Do you feel like you're clear on where you're taking aim?
Yep. Can you say it again, though, please? What?
Sure. So what to do when he has a hard time following through on the plans he makes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
And maybe being specific about the summer work, depending on how it feels to be more specific for you. All right, Julie M., I'm back to you.
Okay, first I just want to say that I'm going to be listening very closely to whatever comes up for, I think it was Lauren, because my husband, who's 55, has the same problem. He makes plans. He's going to do this or that project, this or that thing, and it just doesn't happen. So I'm very curious of non-frustrating on his end ways that I can support him. But for me personally, I was sick a few days ago, and well, first I had gone out of town with some girlfriends over the weekend, and then I got really sick Monday, and so then Tuesday I was recovering, and last night Mark and I went out, and I hadn't loaded Logan's medicine in his little, like, weekly medicine minder thing, and so I was telling him, like, this is where the medicine is, and this is what you take, and all that, and it's like, okay, he's 15 years old, he should know what he takes. And maybe he can load the pill minder every week. And why am I doing all this stuff? And why is it that when I'm sick for 2 days that all of a sudden everything falls apart? So it's I'm kind of in this place, like, realizing, again, I need to be passing this baton because I'm not always going to be there. And they are growing up, and they're going to have to do these things themselves. So
Julie, do you want to work on your resentment? You have to say, do you want to take aim on the medicine or on your resentment?
Let me say, I'm still recovering and feeling grouchy, but no, I want to pass the baton. I need to start passing the baton in little ways, and that just was something that just smacked me in the face last night. Like, gosh.
So independent with medicine.
Doing this.
Yeah. Really solid way to handle it. And I'm going to challenge you to focus on your resentment a little bit too, but that's, we can take
that
offline or outline, however you want to do it. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
There's a video that I just came across that I did about a year ago. And then it's on the website. It's called the Real Reason You're Stressed Out.
Yeah.
And it has to do with resentment. And so if you can find that, if you can, I can post it. But it's one morning I woke up and I'm like, I got to tell this story because it was such a good one.
Okay. Cool.
So I got everybody take a name? Yes. Perfect. So let's talk about asking for help. We are on page, I think it's 66 in the workbooks. That somebody tell me who's got the workbook open. Somehow it got lost in my screens here. I think that's right. But we're talking about asking for help. And this is about our challenges with asking for help and also about our kids' challenges for asking for help. And, you know, the thing that I always say about, you know, the number one thing that I say to parents if their kids are having a hard time asking for help is to really model it and to really look at ourselves and say, you know, where are there places that I have a hard time asking for help? And a lot of us, and I'm going to say moms because all of us who are live are moms, but a lot of challenges with parents, particularly moms, is we get like the supermom syndrome and we feel like, you know, we should be able to do it all ourselves or we have to do it all ourselves. And then, like, Julie had a lot of compassion for what you were saying. It's like this sort of, we get to this point where it's like we feel like we're working way too hard, but we don't even know how to ask for help because we're so overwhelmed by what's going on with us that all we can do is kind of keep the ducks going. And I think that that's the first thing I want to say is that there's several reasons that it's difficult to ask for help. And there's, I don't think this is in the materials, but there are, let me pull them up real quick. I've got a list of them somewhere. I lost them. There we go. So there are five reasons we talk about that make it hard to ask for help. And the first one is that they're not ready, right? So they're still working on it, or you're still working on it. You're trying to figure it out yourself. And so it's not yet time to kind of really ask for help. It's you need to sit on it a little bit longer. The second reason that it's hard to ask for help is that it's kind of has to do with your relationship with making mistakes. And so if you have to ask for help, it might mean that you can't do it yourself. And so it's like this I should be able to do this myself. I don't know why I can't figure it out. It should be easy for me. It's not okay to make mistakes. And this happens with kids a lot. So it's like they get really tired of being the one who needs all the help. And so they don't want to ask for help because it's just easier to try to push through than it is to kind of ask somebody to help you out. The third thing is about buy-in, right? So if you have a kid where you don't have enough buy-in to really make it their agenda or get something done, their ability to ask for help is going to be very different. They're going to, you know, if it's your agenda, that can be a really great indication. If they're not asking you for help or getting your input on something, it could be because they're, you know, they're trying to do what you want them to do and not what they're really interested in doing. The fourth thing is about denial, whether it's their denial or yours about needing help. You know, I don't need help or I shouldn't need help. And so that kind of plays in here in terms of their ability to ask for help. And then the last one that kind of came up as I was thinking about, Julie, your comment about working too hard is about hidden stress and triggers. And what happens with so many of us is that when we get stressed out or we get triggered, we go into coping mode or overwhelm even. We go into our coping mechanisms. And for a lot of us, our coping mechanisms are either avoidance or they're control, right? And so it's this sort of, if we're a little overwhelmed or we're a little stressed out, we go into this sort of, whoop, I'm going to take over everything and I'm going to make sure that all my I's are dotted and all my T's are crossed because I'm just completely overwhelmed by the situation. And even if you're not a control freak kind of person on a day-to-day basis, when you get stressed out, most of us either go to, like, I'm not thinking about this at all and I'm avoiding, or we just go into this place of hypervigilance. So if you've got a kid who's not asking for help, it may be the same sort of thing, that they're too stressed out to ask for help, they're triggered, and they have a hard time asking for help. So the first place to go, either for yourself or for your kids, is to really look and say, is there a level of overwhelm or stress that I should be kind of focused on and helping myself manage or my kid manage so I can get back into problem-solving mode. Because unless we're in problem-solving mode, our ability to kind of say, hey, I might need help with this, is going to be completely different, and we're just going to be socked into our problem. So this is true for our kids. It's true for us. Another thing that becomes really, really important here is modeling. And so I think I talked about that before, but, you know, making sure that you're asking for help and asking for help in front of your kids, offering help. So just kind of having transparent conversations about the importance of not trying to do everything on your own is an important part of asking for help. So what comes up for all of you guys around this topic of asking for help?
This is Jane. I feel like I am able to ask for help because to manage what my son's doing, I feel like I'm not effective and I have to ask my husband to kind of step in. He seems to be a little more level-headed and light when he talks to my son and is able to help me. So I do ask for help. Joshua has asked me or said, you know, Mom, you can help me with the job search when I get back from my whatever fun thing I'm doing. So it's asking for help is okay. It's just following through on his plan, like what exactly what Lauren said. If you have an intention, you have a plan, I'm going to do this, but then you don't really do it.
Go ahead.
Maybe get him to ask for help. I wish he would learn to ask for help with his procrastination, because tomorrow is his favorite word. I'm going to do it tomorrow, Mom. I'll do it tomorrow. And he knows himself tomorrow it never comes. He's just avoiding and putting off and procrastinating because the video games, the friends, and all that stuff is so much more fun.
Well, and so hang on a second, and I want to reflect, Jane, if I can, on what I just shared, because the other coping mechanism that most of us have is avoidance. So how likely is it that he's overwhelmed by this idea of having to get a job?
Probably. Yes, he is. Doesn't know.
Yeah, and so if he is, then
really,
go ahead.
He doesn't know really what he wants to do in life, and so we're just kind of, like I was saying before, we're chipping away at it, and I think we're getting somewhere by my asking questions, and, you know, we're working on
it. Well, and that's the thing, right? So if you have compassion for the fact that even if it's about it, it's more fun to play with your friends than it is to look for a job, especially if looking for a job is overwhelming, right? And so maybe it's about figuring out how to make job search more fun. Maybe it's about helping hold him accountable in a different way. So, you know,
so tonight
you know,
I want him to work on a resume. Like that's an example. I want him
But whose agenda is that? Yours or his?
Mine, because I know he needs to have it for this particular job.
Okay. So, but asking the question would be, so you want to give him control. So holding him accountable for doing something every day with regard to job search leaves it in his agenda. Does that resonate? So it's kind of like making an agreement with him that, you know, how much time every day do you want to spend on job search? When are you going to do it?
The holding accountable is so beyond how I know what to do, because at his age, I don't know, you know, anything to hold him accountable with except to say, we'll take the internet off your bedroom and you can't play a video game, or I'm going to stop paying your phone bill. They're the only two things I could think of. I don't know how to hold him accountable for what, like, ideas for accountability.
Hello.
Did my call drop? I feel like I couldn't hear anything.
I hear you. I can hear you.
I don't know where Diane went.
Oh.
We lost
Diane.
Yeah,
I couldn't hear anything. I couldn't hear anything for a minute.
Well, I just stopped talking because I didn't hear Diane say anything. So I thought maybe because I'm walking near the woods.
The moderator has left the conference.
I'm back. Can you guys hear me?
I can. I'm Jane.
Yeah. Okay. Well, sorry about that, Jane.
That's okay.
I was listening to you talk about holding him accountable and that being the problem.
Yeah, I don't know.
So it could be. Yeah. So it's about keeping it in his agenda, right? So instead of language like you need to do your resume tonight, you may need to take it in steps. So it's kind of like I want to work on it tomorrow, and then tomorrow never comes, is what I heard you say. So. It's a conversation kind of about the accountability, which is, hey, buddy, I noticed that for 3 days in a row, you've said that you wanted to get some work done on it and you haven't. And I don't want to be that mom. You know, it's like, I want to help you, but I don't want to nag you. I don't want to, you know, I want it to be your deal, but it feels like you're struggling. You know, how can I help? How can I, you know, help you come up with a plan, or what plan do you want to have more specifically? But it's really about having the conversation with him about how you're going to work together rather than throwing in suggestions in the moment. Does that make sense?
Taking away his phone and taking
yeah,
away.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's why I feel like that's the only thing we have is accountability. It's like, you don't do this, then this is going to happen. And that creates a negative energy there.
Well, and holding him accountability isn't about threatening. Holding him accountable is, hey, you said that you wanted to do this, and I noticed you didn't. What do you want to do to make sure it happens tomorrow? You know, and it's that conversation, and I'm thinking about Lauren. It's just observing. Hey, I noticed that you really wanted to do this, and it didn't happen. Or asking questions like, you know. How are you going to remember? How are you going to make sure that it's getting done? You know, so you're holding them accountable for having a process for remembering, not just holding them accountable for getting it done. So does that distinction make sense? You're adding a level of scaffolding. So the first level is they said they wanted to get it done. You're checking in with them to make sure it's done. The second level is they weren't able to get it done, so it's kind of like, how are you, you know, what's your process for making sure it's going to get done? And you're stepping a little closer, and then a little closer, and then a little closer. Does that resonate?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to go back to this kind of more general conversation about asking for help and what comes up for the rest of you around this idea of asking for help.
This is Lauren. I was going to say that I think it's really interesting because my son definitely copes with avoidance, and I think that's why he procrastinates so much, because getting started for him is challenging. So he avoids it, and I cope with control, and so those two things don't necessarily work that well together, because he's just trying
right.
to avoid it, and I'm trying to control it.
Well, Lauren, I guess I'm curious, how able would you be to have a conversation with him about coping mechanisms and about what happens when you get overwhelmed and about what, and ask mm-hmm. him, well, what happens when you get overwhelmed and what do you notice and how hard is it to get work done when you're overwhelmed? And maybe
yeah.
we focus on how I could help you when you do get overwhelmed or what ideas you have for what to do when you're overwhelmed, and focus on the kind of getting back into problem solving mode rather than on the getting the project done.
Mm-hmm.
How would that be different
yep.
for you?
That would be fine. He, because when I told him about my epiphany about the dopamine and video games. I'm always like, I had a big epiphany, and he's like, oh dear, what was your epiphany? But when I say, like, isn't this like, I feel like I've say that a lot lately, and I think he just kind of rolls his eyes at me, but he does listen to what I'm saying, I think. But it is interesting, like, how to get those two to work together, the avoidance and control, when your different people have different coping mechanisms.
Well, and maybe it might, you know, it may be about him developing a different coping mechanism, right? So what if he shifted to, you know, dopamine as a way to kind of get control, get, you know, the overwhelm managed, you know? So if it's just sort of...
What did you say, shifting to what?
So if he knows that dopamine is helpful, right, mm-hmm. he gets the whole dopamine rush. So if he can bank on that and create a system that works to say, okay, so I'm going to give myself 15 minutes of intense dopamine rush, whether it's from basketball or from watching an intense video game or something that's manageable from a time management perspective, and then check in at 30 minutes and say, how do you feel? Do you feel like you've got enough energy now to jump in? That's a whole different conversation. And again, it's sort of what you want to do is help him come up with these ideas of what he might try, because it's clear that he wants to do it, but he's struggling with how to make it happen. Does that resonate?
Yes, totally.
Yeah. Other thoughts?
You mean from other people?
Yes. Thank you.
Hi, it's Kara. Well, you know, I was actually, the same thing came up from me, which is Declan clearly copes with avoidance. And I clearly cope with control, which is kind of clear. And, you know, when I try to set my take aim on things, I'm not exactly like, I don't think I could use the exact same strategy, because he has a low threshold to where he gets triggered and goes into the coping mechanism of avoidance, what that usually sounds like. And I've been having this conversation with him, because I'll try to ask him something or talk to him about school or, you know, any number of things, and he gets stop, you know, that's what I get. Oh, shut up. So that's, and I've come into the habit lately of saying, okay, well, and sometimes it's something we really have to talk about. So I'll do one of two things. I'll say, well, I know you don't like this topic, but we still have to talk about it. You still need to hear me. In some cases, that's what I'm saying. Or I'll just say, yeah, I can see that you don't like, you know, that this topic is something that makes you uncomfortable. And I'll just kind of leave it at that. But how to move beyond that, I'm totally, I mean, it's going
well,
back to what I'm taking aim on, I think.
Yeah. it comes back to me. So it's kind of like the two ends of the spectrum. So level one parenting is, no, we have to talk about this now. Level four parenting is, okay, it's your agenda, you can't talk about this, right? And it's in the middle. So, buddy, I can tell you're overwhelmed by this, and it's really important that we have this conversation. So, you know, so it could be one of two things. It could be, when are we going to talk about it? Or I'm going to come back in a few minutes and we'll figure out when we're going to talk about it. You know, so it's kind of depending on kind of what his escalation point is and what his receptivity is, but it's that holding him accountable and giving him space at the same time. Does that resonate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, it does resonate. What do I do when he won't, though? Because I get a lot of resistance from him in that regard. Like when, you know, let's just use that. I mean, and this is a rinse and repeat, so I don't.
Yeah. So when
come up with ideas,
you were talking about the fact that you can connect with him at night. And so if you find a way to have a conversation about having the conversation, right? So at nighttime, it's kind of like, I know that there's certain topics and we don't have to talk about it right now, but I want to talk about the problem. Is like, I noticed that there's some topics that you just don't want to talk about sometimes. And we really have to figure out how to talk about them, because sometimes we can't like just avoid them. And I don't know what to do. what, you know, what ideas do you have for how we could talk about stuff that's not so easy? How open do you think he would be to a conversation about conversations in that more relaxed state you get him in?
I can try it, but honestly, what I see happening is the same, which would be stop. Or, see, this is a problem at night. He's so, like, extremely distractible. He just won't respond. He'll just go. He'll just tell me, because, I mean, he does that frequently at night, where I'll try to have a little conversation with them. Like, even, like, I kept trying, and this made me curious, I kept trying to ask him about school after the first week. And every time I did, he said, stop, shut up. And I think I did even at bedtime say, you know, I noticed that when I ask you about school, you're saying this, and I'm wondering why. But what he does at night, it's not as direct, like stop, shut up. It's more, he just talks to me about, I want to, you know, whatever he has in his mind, he just doesn't hear it because his attention, his ability to sustain attention is really low at night.
So there's a difference between what I think I understood that you're saying, which is why can't you talk to me about school, and how can we figure out a way to talk about school?
Yeah, I
because
understand
he may not know why it's hard. He may not even have a solution, but, you know, getting his commitment to finding ways, you know, can you see how important it is for us to find some time that we can talk about school?
Yeah.
And if he says no, then
say, well, that. Well, that's what I'm saying. I may not get, I mean, my expectation is I won't get a response at all because he's just, his attention is really, really low. So if it's something that he's kind of avoiding, it just passes right over him.
So Kara,
see what you're saying.
Yeah. So where are three other opportunities you might try to have that conversation with him?
Well, one has been at the therapist's office.
Okay.
Because there's like a third party involved.
Yep.
You know, on the weekend, sometimes if I can get him, see, this is a trick, is he's always wanting to move into the fun stuff. So he doesn't have the patience for conversation. So if I can set up that reward system that we kind of talked about, like some buy-in, some payoff.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Yes, you know what? You can do this, but I need 5 minutes. I need 10 minutes. Can we do that now? Can we do it later? I can do something like that. So I think it's weekend because the ideal time during the week is really he's at school during that time. So it's kind of on the weekend or at the therapist's office.
Yeah.
Well, or maybe sometimes if I get his dad involved too, because that's kind of like the same as the third party because he's got somebody else watching there that he feels a little more push.
Well, and part of what you said that I want to highlight, Kara, is that you said, you know, 5 minutes, right? And so a lot of times what happens is our kids think we're going to corner them and talk for an hour and a half about school, and they're like, oh, my gosh, I don't have that energy. And we do. We've got a lot of bad habits where we've sat there and barraged them and beat them up about what's going on and given them, you know, 7 million questions. And so for all of us, I would suggest that you start with, an apology and say, you know, I've been that mom that will sit there and talk for an hour about what's going on with school. And what I really want is a quick check-in. And I promise it'll only take, you know, make a commitment to yourself. I'm going to only take 5 minutes, you know, or I'm only going to take 2 minutes or whatever it is to kind of get that buy-in. Are you willing to have a 2-minute conversation with me about school? Yes. Okay. When can we have it? Okay. Later is not a time. Can we try to pencil in a time that we're going to try and I'll check in with you? You know, so it's that sort of constant accountability and control, giving them more accountability, holding them accountable, but giving them more control. Does that resonate?
Yes. Yeah. And that's kind of what I had in our notes before. And I actually just was writing that down. I don't know if school's the best example, because for that, you know, there's something else there, which I'm curious about. But yeah.
Okay.
And cool. I had written down, like, I can see you don't want to talk about it,
this is something we need to talk about. I can come up to you later. That initial thing you said, and then, you know, trying to get him. I think it's multiple attempts, and it's just going to have to be like tiny baby steps, which, yeah. You know, yeah. I do go to the controls, so that's, you know, that can be frustrating for me at times.
Right.
Because I want to do it now.
You want it now, and you want it, and how many times, I want to talk about school now.
Well, I want to deal with it, right? I want to,
yeah,
help him.
That's,
I want to
control.
Help him.
So, yeah. Cool. All right, I want to move us into the wrap up because we're getting close to 4. Is there any closing questions on asking, any closing comments about asking for help before we move to our final question? Okay. So, we are on page 67, I think. Getting close to the end of the workbook before we get started again. So 4 questions are, what did I pay most attention today? What did I focus on? What's my clarity or takeaway? What was an aha that I had? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how do I set myself up for success with this action? So jot down a few notes, and then I would love to hear from all of you at least one aha and one action item. And whenever you're ready to start, let's jump in.
Also, I'm off mute, so it's Kara.
So,
you know, the aha for me was definitely, I actually missed number 4 of what you said when asking for help, but the last one, hidden stress and triggers, that was definitely an aha saying, oh, yeah, well, clearly that's how Declan deals with it. Is to avoid, and so those differences. So that was an aha that I think is pretty important. And a specific thing I'm going to do, I can't say exactly when because it's somewhat organic in terms of when it comes up, but I think what I'll do specifically is look at something that I really need to talk to him about, which, well, it's homework, organization, and try these different types of ways to get him to engage and to have a conversation and see if I can get him to have a collaborative conversation with him. So I'm gonna try a few different things, like different times a day, different maybe rewards, you know, if I can figure that out.
Did we lose Diane again?
I think we did.
No, we probably did. No, that's.
Oh, no.
No, I'm still here. I just, something
about
my mute button today. I'm in a different place, and I think that I keep hitting my mute button with my elbow or something. Sorry about that. Kara, it sounds like you're real clear. Awesome. Well.
This is Jane. My aha was that accountability didn't mean taking away and giving a negative consequence for not following through on what you said you were going to do. So now I realize, aha, I can do this a whole different way. I can say, okay, you know, you can have control, let him have the reins, and then just check in with him and say, you know, I know you planned to start doing such and such, and I guess the aha was the accountability.
Got it.
And also letting him have more control.
Cool. Who else?
This is Julie, and I'll echo that about the accountability and the for my husband, just reminding him like that, how can you remember to do that next time or something like that. But my commitment is that I'm going to this afternoon try to find that real reason you're stressed out video or audio file that you mentioned, Diane, and listen to that.
Awesome. All right, who else?
This is Lauren.
This is Julie.
Oh, go ahead.
This is Julie. Thanks, Lauren. I don't know. I'm a little
overwhelmed, interestingly. I didn't expect to be with this topic or just all the conversation. Like, a lot of it in a good way. I just feel support. I think the accountability piece. So I'm here asking for help. That's how I'm holding the theme, is that I'm really needing the help. And I wish there was some magic way to help my daughter ask for help, but I know that doesn't exist. So it seems like the conversations are always kind of a challenge for me. And so I just like the reminders for that here, like how to keep having those conversations, even if they're 2-minute conversations or just bringing things up. I don't know. I think maybe it's because everything is resonating. So I think my action is around really working with myself around the accountability pieces and kind of breaking them down more. And like, how do you want me to be with you with this, and holding that bigger picture? It's not about her getting the assignment done even. It's about her like doing it herself. That would be huge. Or little baby steps. Awesome. I don't know. I'm kind of scattered, but.
Well, so Juliet, I'll offer you accountability that if you want to kind of process a little bit and then send me a note with your action item, I'm happy to receive it via email.
Okay. Thank you.
It feels like there's a little something for you around some of the coping and the overwhelm yourself. But I may be off base. What do you think?
No, right. I feel like I'm so overstimulated that I can't quite make sense of it. Yeah. I'm having a hard time.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Just think through my own.
Well, we're here for you to get stuck.
Overwhelm. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Did I get everybody?
This is Lauren. I'll just go real quick. I'm going to my aha was the coping mechanisms: avoidance is my son and control is me. And we will have a conversation about that and just noticing that and how to work together when we're a lot different in that respect.
Awesome. Cool. All right, everybody, thank you. Great call today, great conversation. Glad to have be on
thank
your
you.
Thursday group. Thank you for letting me crash, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.